adventures, and we're in Vayikra now, which is Leviticus, and which means "and the Lord called," and that's how the book starts, and so that's why it gets that name. But we have a new beginning. Y'all like new beginnings, right? Yeah. Well, in the Bible, new beginnings are very interesting. And we have in chapter 10 here, or in 9:22, we have the beginning of the dedication of the Mishkan has taken place, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And it appeared to all the people. And then fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the offering. So to initiate the Mishkan, and then this happens again at the Habet HaMikdosh, the temple in Yerushalayim later, but to initiate this new program of God and man coming together, they didn't light the fire. Fire from heaven, fire from the presence of God, supernatural, Esh HaKodesh, holy fire came out from the presence and consumed the offering, not fire that from the priest with a Bic lighter. And as it were, and so we have this supernatural beginning. You got to love beginnings in the Bible. And what happens then is the people shout for joy. This is the end of chapter 9. When the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. And so they're worshiping here. So we have a very good start to the beginning of the Mishkan and the priesthood, right? And which is God and man coming together, which is the intent all through the Bible. And then Aaron and his two sons offer unholy incense, and fire comes out and consumes them. Welcome to new beginnings. There's a great celebration, party, the glory of the Lord, celebration and worship. And then fire comes out and burns up Aaron's two eldest sons. That put a damper on the party. So now we don't have such a good start. So, but what a sight it must have been. We can get the video when we get in the kingdom and see this supernatural fire. What does it look like? What is it? And several times we've already seen. And the glory of the Lord appeared over the tent of meeting, or the glory of the Lord appeared here or there. And what was this like? You know, the glory of the Lord appeared on Mount Sinai. So here the glory of the Lord come, and all this celebration, and it was most likely a huge, great adventure. But this strange fire, Aaron and Aaron's two sons here, Nadav and Abihu, which means who is my father, and Nadab, I forget, I got it written down here somewhere. But fire comes out and just kills them. And then in the story, Aaron is told by God he's not allowed to mourn for his two boys. I mean, bad is bad, and now it's worse. It seems harsh. And it even says here, you can't let your hair become unkept. You can't tear your garment. And then up here in verse 7, you can't even leave where you're standing at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Or what? Or you'll die too. So what's going on? But this is what I think is at stake here. The burning of the incense represents worship, coming close to God with worship. The altar of incense is the closest to the Holy of Holies. You have the menorah, the showbread table, and then you have up against the curtain the altar of incense, and that incense smoke goes into the Kadosh Kadoshim, the Holy of Holies. And it represents worship. It represents prayer, but that's not petition prayer, that's worship prayer. Not asking for a new pickup, which I am, but it's worship. So Hashem says in verse 3, and this is the point here. He says this word, kadosh, holy. among those who approach me. So now, who is that? Just put your name in there. I will show myself holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored. Holy, honor, that word can be translated glorified, same word, kavod. So here in this new beginning and this new way of coming to God with the Mishkan and the priesthood, the very first thing of this new way of worship, we have incense representing worship being offered in an unholy way. We have unholy worship and we have death. Is there a clue here about God's concern about worship? And how about God has rules for worship? We must worship according to his rules. Why? Why do we need to follow the rules? Because we're not to worship from a distance. We are to come close, especially in the Jesus covenant. We're to approach him and come close. So what is his rule? Whenever one comes close to this holy God, he must come in a way that honors him, showing him holy. And as we saw in the seven churches, if you've been here on Erev Shabbat for the classes on the seven churches, this is the problem in the churches when we get to Pergamum and Thyatira. They have unholy worship, and God yells at them about it, right? And it's still with us today. Remember in Yeshua, in John chapter 4, he has some instruction about worship to the woman there. He says, true worshipers will worship in spirit. I love that. And he says, these are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth, or in realism. Not religiosity, but realism, where actually the person is involved instead of behavior. So in the new covenant, or the Jesus covenant, or the Yeshua covenant, or the salvation covenant, it is in the spirit is the way of worship. In the spirit. So the new covenant is altogether a matter of the Holy Spirit. And this is why it began, the church began at Acts chapter 2 with Shavuot and the giving of the Holy Spirit indwelling man, which had never happened before. Okay. So here in the beginning of Israel's history, it is supposed to be holy worship. And when the unholy came, fire came, and death came. So maybe some of you remember some of these, and I was trying to remember them when I was writing this message, trying to get through this message in a hurry because it's frightening. But I'll remind you of a teaching I have done in the past about new beginnings in the Bible. And there's a few of them. I can't remember them all, but anyway, here's a few of them. Israel comes out of Egypt and becomes the nation of Hashem, and this new beginning is how they are to come together with God, and it is by the priesthood. So this new beginning is number one, the priest and the Mishkan, and God kills both of them on the first day of ministry. As soon as the priesthood is initiated, he kills them. Who wants to approach close now? He says, I'll be seen as holy and I'll be honored. And it seems God has to kill people to get them to pay attention to the holy part. So we can go to part two. There's another new beginning. It's in Numbers 14. We might visit that in a couple weeks. But it is, what is that new beginning? The land, Haaretz. It's time finally for the Abrahamic covenant to progress to, I will give you this land. The Haaretz is the land. It's the first part of the Abrahamic covenant. It's how the history of God's plan begins, and it will also be how it ends, with the land. And that's why we go to the land and give offering to the land and pray for the land. Because if you stop the land, you stop the plan. So that's why all the darkness today is trying to stop the land. But the 12 are sent to spy out the land and bring back some of the produce. And you got to love the produce. That's the famous picture of there's a pole with a bunch of grapes between them. And it takes two people to carry the grapes on a pole. Now, I'm looking forward to that. Can you imagine what the strawberries look like? Peaches the size of pumpkins. And, of course, watermelon, yes, Mags, because she knows that I teach it. The watermelon is the tree of life, really. But Avatiach is watermelon. Okay, so they did bring back some of the produce, and that famous picture is actually the symbol of the tourism ministry in Israel today. But you know what happens? A good report from all 12 of them? Oh, no, a good report from 9 of them. What was it? A good report from half of them. No, what was it? A good report from Shtaim Anashim, 2 people. 2 people, good report, bad report, 10. It's a new beginning, the land, finally. Because the evil generation has died, and now all their kids are grown up, and it's time to go in under Yahushua V'Kelev, right? And so we have Numbers 14:37. The men who spread the evil report about the land were struck down by God and died of a plague. And it says they died before the Lord. So here we have another new beginning, and Israel sins with the evil report, but the 10 that gave the evil report, which they said the Abrahamic covenant cannot exist, it cannot come true, God's not big enough, is really what they were saying. And so we'll all die, and so God can't help us, this won't work. Their God's bigger than our God, essentially. And so God strikes them down dead because it was a new beginning, right? And then Israel said, we have sinned, we'll take the land. And that never takes place then. All of that generation then dies because of this sin. And we have to wait 38 years for them to take the land under Yahushua and Caleb. Okay, so anyway, I'm going to mix that up. The Mishkan and the land, the two great new beginnings. The priesthood and the land, and both of them, God kills people. Not man kills them. See, these are new beginnings that God actually kills people. So hopefully we're done with new beginnings, because in all these new beginnings, God kills people. And they're usually people in leadership. Let's go to another one. Number 3. Oh, yes, this is a new beginning that is picturing the Brit Hadashah. This is a new beginning that we all love because we dance as David danced, right? This is the new beginning of God has now chosen the place that he said he would choose, but he never revealed it in the Torah. You have to wait until Shlomo or David buys the, King David buys the threshing floor from Aruna with gold, Temple Mount, the rock that's inside the dome of the rock now is the threshing floor that David bought. And so there's all this stuff going on. But anyway, it was time for the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of God, to finally come to the city that God chose, Yerushalayim and Zion, and Temple Mount, right? But it actually goes to Zion first, because the temple isn't there yet. Okay, so anyway, God's new plan prophetically, and this is acted out by Messiah's father, as it were, because we know that Yeshua is son of David. So David is father of Messiah, and so the father of Messiah acts out this new beginning of the church age by bringing the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem, okay? And then he puts it in the tabernacle of David, the Sukkah HaShel David, and all the priests can go in every day. You can't do that. But why can David do this? By the word of the Lord, he did this because he is prophesying the church age, where everybody is a priest and king and gets to go into the presence of God all the time. And he offered one sacrifice, and then after that, the only sacrifice was 24-hour praise and worship, the sacrifice of praise. Sounds like church age. We don't kill sheep anymore. But we got to have the praise and worship, right? And so it was a great picture. It was a new beginning. David, we're going to bring up the Ark of the Covenant. And Uzzah steadies the cart. Dies. God strikes him down dead. Welcome to the church, prophesy. Sheesh. I can't wait till we get to the church age. God would never kill church people. What did he have to do? He had to read the directions and follow the word. So David pouts for a little while, and then he gets his book out. He says, you know, you can't carry the ark on a cart with oxen. That's not the rules. The rules is the Levites have to carry the Ark of the Covenant. We were going against the rules. So we have had this big picture of this great event, and what happened? Just like unholy fire, die. Just like can't keep the word of the Abrahamic covenant, die. Now, can't move the ark without die. And Uzzah was David's friend. And so David reads the rules, and we have the successful bringing of the ark up to Zion, which then pictures prophetically the church age and everything that went along with that. And David celebrates dancing, wearing a linen ephod, two pieces, two layers of linen ephod. So, of course, we have to mention that David never danced naked. He never did. And King James says he disrobed, and that's where you get the idea that he danced naked. Why did he disrobe? Because David was portraying his son prophetically, and his son is after the order of Melchizedek, Psalm 118, right? After the order of Melchizedek, who was priest and king. Now, David cannot be a priest. He cannot be a Levite. But by the word of the Lord, he was able to do this because he's portraying the church age. He's portraying his boy, Yeshua, which is to be both priest and king. So David, now when you're going to minister to the Lord, you don't come as a king, okay? You come as a priest. So he disrobes his kingly robe and wears priest clothes and ministers to the Lord up close with dancing. And it's a perfect picture of the reality that we're in today. Dancing, Davidic dancing, is actually freestyle running and twirling and skipping and praising God. You're a little out of order. Thank you. And so we have this whole picture, but it begins with God striking down someone who had good intention. And so what did it result in? Following the rules again. Goodness. Well, I'm glad we're done with the Old Testament and the Tanakh, because we're in the New Testament and we don't even want any of that business going on with us. Okay. What's this number four here? Number four, new beginning. What's this? See, the greatest of new beginnings is the birth of the body of Messiah. It's the greatest one. All the rest were pictures of this new beginning. And now we have this new beginning, the body of Messiah, the ecclesia, the church. These other three Tanakh days stories are from the Tanakh days. And now surely in the days of Yeshua and the dispensation of grace and mercy, that there would be no more of this kind of picture from the Lord. He would not strike down church people. Now, y'all know that, for dishonoring. God would never kill church people. But in this greatest of new beginnings, he even kills a woman. Just seeing if you're awake. Acts chapter 5, the whole issue of this new beginning is the Holy Spirit, the church, and the couple lied to the Holy Spirit. You know it as Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to the Holy Spirit. The whole issue of the body of Messiah is the Holy Spirit. We have a new beginning. The Holy Spirit is on the test. They came in. It didn't have anything to do about whether or not they gave the land or not. It's because they lied about it when they were asked about it. They lied to the Holy Spirit. God struck them down right in front of all the church people. They didn't get stoned by people. God struck them down. And what does it say there in Acts chapter 5? And great fear seized the whole church. And what happened with great fear seized the whole church? They all read the directions. Right? It brings them back to what started here. Among those who approach me, I will be seen as holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored. I'll be glorified. So these are the new beginnings that I can remember. There's probably more. But I think that what God showed me in all this is every new beginning, God has to say, pay attention, listen up, this is important to me. And man doesn't until he kills somebody. Then they pay attention. Great fear seized the whole church. What do? We'll be careful, whatever it is. Right? You'll be careful. And nobody went around lying about the Holy Spirit after that. I'll bet you there hadn't been a lie told in there for 20 years after this event. Nobody told a single lie. Right? What do you think? Word of this spread throughout the whole church? So when God kills somebody, they do pay attention. So the question is, are there any more new beginnings left? Which hopefully we're ready for the new beginning of the kingdom. But the only new beginning I know of left in all of the plan of God is for the rebuilding of the temple. And so wouldn't it be interesting if there's... But you don't know in these last days, when they rebuild the temple, I believe if there is a last day revival, it will coincide with the rebuilding of the temple. And if that is considered a new beginning, who knows what might happen. Since it's the end of the age, God might start striking down unholy preachers all over the place. How do you know what he might do? It's the end, right? You got pictures of, and then you have the end, the fulfillment. And so anyway, pay attention. Remember the book, we have rule book. And the rule is worship in spirit by honoring and glorifying God and come in a holy way, which, as we saw in the seven churches, was not the case. All right. Okay, so anyway, we can go back to Leviticus 10. We got 5 minutes here. An interesting point in verse 7, to go along with the incense that was unauthorized, the two priests are dead, and now Moses and Aaron and his next two sons are told not to mourn. And then in verse 6, it says, do not leave the Mishkan. In verse 7, do not leave the entrance to the tent of the meeting, or you will die, because the Lord's anointing oil is on you. So they did as Moses said. And then we start right into rules again. So that's really the end of the story. And at this point, when God starts in with the rules again, everybody was probably taking notes and being very careful at this point, right? But why does it say if you leave the Mishkan, you'll die? They already were not allowed to mourn or tear their robes. But it says because they have the Shemen Mashiach on them. Shemen in Hebrew is oil. And Mashiach, it's the Mashiach word there because it's the anointing oil, which Mashiach means anointing, the Christ word. So it's the anointing oil. Now we have incense and we have anointing oil in the text. Incense and oil equals worship by the Holy Spirit. In this first day of God and man coming together by the tabernacle and the priesthood is about worship and also the Holy Spirit. And this is the pattern, because then Yeshua says at the end, true worshipers will worship in spirit. So something to think about as the church age enters the age of Laodicea. We're already in Laodicea. We're just overcoming it, aren't we? Remember in Philadelphia, the church gets no rebuke. And at the end it says, Do not let anyone take your crown. So you already have the Philadelphia crown. You all have that. The admonition from Hashem is don't let anybody steal it from you. And so what will steal it from you is getting away from worship in the Spirit. This is what Philadelphia had. So here we go into the last church age, and we want to stay in worship with the Holy Spirit. This is the whole deal. Okay. All right, so we can stop there. We'll go back to the Moses adventures a little bit. We'll have fun here with a couple things here. But 38 years takes place now after the sin of not taking the land. 38 years of Israeli history, and there's very little recorded. Very little there. Just a couple more acts of sin and rebellion. So next week, we'll have to start with, maybe we'll cover a couple things quick, but then we're going to get to the great rebellion of Korach. It's a tough story. And that sets up the rules for leadership in Israel. And we have the budding of Aaron's rod. That's the fun part, which is almond, right? And I have an almond rod over here that I have, but it hasn't budded. But it might, all right? So there's where we'll go, a couple more stories, but the Korach rebellion is classic for everybody. It has lessons for everybody in the church and back then, and for us as well. So anyway, the Moses matrix with Moses interceding for Israel started at Sinai when God says, stand back and I'll destroy this people. And remember, what is the Moses matrix? Moses argues with God as an intercessor, not for his own sake. Even he says, take my name out of your book, but save them. So he's a perfect picture of Messiah. He does this three or four more times in this 38-year period. And so it's amazing how this generation, when God calls it that evil generation, it really is, which is a parallel, I believe, to Matthew chapter 12 and that evil generation that rejected Yeshua and the unforgivable sin of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which if you were in my classes before, you know that you cannot commit that sin. So relax. Maybe it will cover that briefly as well. Anybody ever been condemned about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, thinking you did it? Yeah, you can't. Too bad. You can't, because in the context, it was only able to be committed in the first century by those that were in responsibility to detect who the true Messiah is, and when he revealed himself as the true Messiah, they were to declare him to be Mashiach, but instead they said, you do these messianic miracles by Beelzebub, which means these miracles are done by the devil, and then the unforgivable sin of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit and the judgment of that was given to that generation only, and it's never able to be repeated. Several people that committed the unforgivable sin later on got saved. But what is the judgment of the unforgivable sin? The offer of the kingdom is withdrawn. No matter how much you repent, the kingdom will not come to that generation. It will be given to a later generation that is found worthy, which is our Jewish friends today, hopefully, amen. Right? Amen. So we have this thing coming up in the sin of the not taking the land and that generation being called an evil generation, and you will not get the kingdom either. So Matthew 12 is a redo of the 10 spies rejecting the land in Numbers. All right, so thank you for listening, and we're going to have Oneg. There is a show tomorrow in Cheyenne at some church. If you're from Cheyenne, you can check my directions up here. I forget what church it is. At 3 o'clock, we're dancing in Wyoming in Cheyenne. Are you ready? Are you happy? Yavarekaka Adonai Vayishmareka. Yeir Adonai Panavaleka Vehunaka. Yisa Adonai Panavaleka Voyoseim Lakosh Shalom Bashem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sir HaShalom, Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you and lift his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Messiah, and you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit and you will be in the fear of the Lord and honor him and show him as holy and you'll glorify him and you will worship in spirit and in realism. Amen. Because he's real. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.